morning, if you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, in just a moment we will begin there. I'm grateful for your presence. If you're visiting, we're thankful that you're here. And we hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. There are people who set up barriers to keep us safe. When Dunbar Cave Road floods from time to time, the highway department puts up barriers right before that low spot that's right there by the golf course. Barriers on either side of that low spot. You can't go down that road while it's flooding. So barriers are put up to protect us. If somebody has mopped the floor in a business, they will put up cones or a placard that says wet floor. There's a big fence around the electric power substation. You can't go in there. You'll get shocked and you'll die. There are barriers that are put up to protect us, to help us. There are guardrails. There are construction barricades. There's wet floor signs. There are things that are put up to help us, to warn us, to keep us away from something that might hurt us, and we appreciate that. The problem is, when it comes to our relationship with Christ, the devil puts up barriers, and he wants to keep us from getting to Christ. So this morning, I want us to talk a little bit about breaking down barriers and doing what it takes to get to Jesus. You know me, that when I preach from time to time, I speak about our culture and cultural norms that we have and cultural pressures that we have. And I do that from time to time because they're real and they affect us. And I believe one of the cultural norms and situations that we have going on today is that we live in a world where more and more people, especially among the younger generations, they don't want to do the hard work that it takes to get something accomplished. They often make excuses, they bring up hardships, they bring up inconveniences, and we just can't meet our goal, we just can't get where we need to get because it's just too hard. And unfortunately, we are facing that in our culture today. Laziness is on the rise, and this I can't do it mentality, and it's become a problem. I was speaking to a gospel preacher just 2 days ago. They have a training program every year at the congregation where he is at, and he told me that recently they got a young man around 20 years old, and he wanted to be a preacher, and he came for this preacher training program, and he lasted about 2 months. The elders had to get rid of him because he didn't want to do any work. He didn't want to do any work. I said, well, what was he doing? He said, well, every day he wanted to go to the coffee shop and read his Bible, and he would try to talk with people there, which is a good thing. We need to do that. But he didn't want to do anything else. And he said, we couldn't get him to do any work. So we're in a situation where it's very easy to make excuses why we can't do this or that. And in our scripture reading in John chapter 6, the text says that when many people heard Jesus, he was talking there in that chapter about discipleship, they said, this is a hard saying. Oh, it's too hard. And a few verses later, it says, many walked no more with him. It's just too hard. And that's what happens. And the devil wins. So this morning I want to talk about some men and women in the Gospels who broke down barriers and did what it took to get to Jesus. Common, ordinary men and women who didn't say, oh, it's too hard. They got to Jesus. They were blessed by Him. And the lesson this morning, brethren, is this. We can do the same. These are not some superhuman men and women. They're ordinary individuals like us. But what they have up here is determination and resolve and commitment and dedication and resilience. And when the devil throws up barriers, they break right through that. They go right through that. And we've got to have that in our lives today, brethren. Let me say to our parents this morning, especially those with little children, one of the greatest things that you can teach your children is this matter of working hard and resolve and commitment. Start it as early as you can. That will be a principle and a characteristic that will serve them well the rest of their life. If they take a basket of toys and throw them all over the floor, don't you go pick them up. Let them pick them up. They scattered them all over the floor. Let them put it back in the basket. They can do that. That's a good thing. Teach them early to work hard, to finish things, to press through. It will serve them well in school. It will serve them well later in their work. And most importantly, it will serve them well in their relationship to Jesus Christ. We have to have a breakthrough barrier mentality when it comes to our service to Christ. We live in a culture today, and they say that the so-called Gen Z is the worst. We just don't want to do anything. And if it gets a little hard, then I quit. Young people, that is a problem. It's a problem on so many fronts, and it's a problem especially in our relationship to Christ. So let's look at some individuals who did what it took to get to Jesus. They broke down these barriers that the devil throws up, and they got the blessing. Let's start with the Samaritan woman. I want to look at some individuals this morning. Let's begin with the Samaritan woman. Read with me, if you will, John chapter 4 and verse 5. Jesus comes to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, or 12 noon. There comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, who am a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. This morning we're going to take each case in the Gospels, and I'm going to list the different barriers that are thrown up. If you're taking notes this morning, you can list the different barriers. Let's begin here with number one. She was a Samaritan woman, the text says. She overcame the typical and long-held racial and social stereotype that Jews and Samaritans have no dealings with each other. Let's stay away. She said, no, I want to come and talk with this man. The first barrier that she broke down was that of race and social status that existed between her people and the Jews. But keep reading, verse 10. Jesus answered and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that said to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The second barrier that she overcame was that of the physical only. She came for physical water. But eventually she realizes she needs the spiritual water that Jesus is going to offer. So verse 11, the woman said, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Whence then have you the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his sons and cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, every one that drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up unto eternal life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come all the way here to draw. She was challenged to accept a spiritual gift in Jesus. Jesus was offering spiritual water from the well of salvation. And she overcame this barrier that was just focused on the physical, and she begins to move toward the spiritual. In fact, she moved away from the physical so much that later in verses 27 and following, she left her water pot. She was not interested in the physical water anymore. But then there's a third barrier that she broke through. Look at verse 16. Jesus said, go call thy husband and come here. The woman answered and said unto him, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. This thou hast said truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Jesus addressed her unlawful marriage. And she realized that she was in an undesirable and in an unsuccessful condition and that she needed to change. And notice here, brethren, that she didn't get all offended. You've gone to meddling, preacher. Now you're getting into my marriage. You're getting into my marriage. I'm out of here. There are people like that today. You try to talk with them about coming to Jesus, and they're fine until the discussion gets up on something that's real personal in their life. And then the devil throws up that barrier, and it works. I don't want to go any farther. You've gone to meddling, preacher. No. She stuck with it. And she realized, you're telling the truth, and you must be a prophet. Do you see what happens, brethren? We start in on something. Someone needs to come to Jesus. But the devil throws up barriers, and today it works. They just give up. They just quit. Oh, the preacher said this when I went to visit Warfield Boulevard. I went in there, and he said such and such. And I'm going to leave in a huff. I didn't appreciate that. Or something like that. Or you're having a private conversation with someone, and everything's fine until you address what really needs to be addressed. Oh, okay, that's it. I'm not going any farther. Don't allow that in your life. Break through the barriers to get to Jesus. Some people need to come and obey for the first time. Some people need to come back to Jesus. Some people need to keep being faithful to Jesus. It happens every day. The devil throws up barriers, and you can either say, well, I quit, or you can press on. We're supposed to be praying regularly and reading our Bible regularly and attending regularly. And there's a lot of things that we need to be doing and that will bless us in our lives. But the devil throws up barriers. Well, I can't do it. But don't be like that. These men and women that we're looking at this morning press through that. That doesn't faze them. Because they have determination to get to what is important. Let's look at another barrier, the fourth one that is thrown up in verse 20. Boy, this really hits home. And this is the one that, now you've really offended me when you bring up religion. Verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, pointing to Mount Gerizim. There was an old temple up on top of Mount Gerizim that the Samaritans were using to worship in Jesus' day. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when neither in this mountain, Mount Gerizim, nor in Jerusalem, shall you worship the Father. There's going to come a time where worshiping the Father is in the Lord's church, and it's not confined to these two places. You worship that which you know not. Okay, now you've offended me. You said that I'm worshiping in a way that is not right. Okay, I'm stopping right there. That's how many people would act today. You worship that which you know not. He just told her the truth. The Samaritan religion was not the authorized religion. They read only from the first five books of the Old Testament. They would not accept all of the Old Testament. And they worshiped in Mount Gerizim. They would not come to the temple in Jerusalem. Their religion was false. And he told them so. Oh, you've offended me now. You see how that works? The devil throws up that barrier. And it works for so many people. But it didn't work for her. She kept pressing through. Verse 23, the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such does the Father seek to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah comes, he that is called the Christ. When he has come, he will declare unto us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And she eventually accepts that. And she goes and she tells her fellow Samaritans, verse 39, and they came and believed on him. Why? She was willing to break through these barriers. Social and racial stigmas, being concerned only for the physical, an unlawful marriage, an unlawful religion. And she eventually believed that Jesus was the Christ and told her neighbors, and they believed also. Let's look at another one. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2. Ordinary men and women who aren't going to let little old things get in the way like so much happens today. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. And when he entered again into Capernaum after some days, it was noised that he was in the house. And many were gathered together so that there was no longer room for them. no, not even about the door. And he spake the word unto them. And they come bringing unto him a man sick of palsy or paralysis. He can't walk. Carried by four of his friends. And when they could not come near unto him for the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed whereon the sick of the palsy lay. Let's talk about the man with palsy. First of all, he was sick with palsy or paralysis. He had to be carried on a mattress or a pallet by four friends. He didn't say, well, I've got a physical handicap. I can't get to Jesus. You'll hear all kinds of things today. Well, such and such was said that offended me, or I've got this thing or that thing. And people bring up all kinds of stuff. Brethren, we're talking about men and women this morning that have physical handicaps. They have all kinds of strikes against them, but they get to Jesus. Why? Because of up here. That's the difference. That's the difference in so many people. Let us break through those barriers and get to Jesus. Second, if you read in verse 3 and 4, there's a big crowd about the door. This big crowd had separated this man from Jesus, and he had to be let down through the roof. In Luke's account, in Luke chapter 5 and verse 19, they broke up the tiles of the roof. For this man, it was a case of now or never. And he took the now. The crowd did not let him through, but that was not a problem. Hey guys, let's get up on the roof and let's break up the tiles and lower me down through. He and his friends went to extraordinary means to help their friend get to Jesus. Would you and I do that? Or do we just quit at the first sign of a little inconvenience? Third, he was living in sin. And he didn't say to Jesus, don't you bring up my sin. I'm here to get healed. I wasn't here for you to call out my sin. People would do that today. Again, now you've gone to meddling, Jesus. Now you've gone to getting personal. You're bringing up my sin. Let's keep reading. Verse 5. And Jesus, seeing their faith. And by the way, on a side note, underscore in your Bible that statement, seeing their faith. The Bible doesn't teach faith only, where we just mentally accept something. It's got to show itself in obedience and action. Seeing their faith. What did he see? What did he see? He saw them lowering the man down through the roof and taking the extraordinary measures to get to Jesus. Seeing their faith. Faith shows itself in action. Very important principle. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins are forgiven. So his active faith brought him to Jesus. It caused him to receive forgiveness of sins. And then later, he's actually healed of his palsy. And Jesus said, take up thy bed and walk, verse 9. He was not deterred by the scribes and Pharisees in verse 6, who said to Jesus, he's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God? He didn't get sidetracked on the scribes and the Pharisees. He stayed focused on getting to Jesus. And Luke 5:25, that parallel account said that he left glorifying God. A roof is not going to keep me away. A crowd is not going to keep me away. Bringing attention to my sin is not going to keep me away. What a great example. While we're here in the book of Mark, turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Let's talk a little bit about Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. The parallel account is in Matthew 9 and Luke 8. Mark 5:21. When Jesus had crossed over again in a boat unto the other side, a great multitude was gathered together unto him, and he was by the sea. And there come one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, falleth at his feet. The first barrier that he overcame was that he was a ruler of the synagogue. He was one of the board of elders who ruled the local synagogue there in Capernaum. He would have been held in high social esteem and holding this very high religious rank. But here's the problem. his comrades, who were Jewish leaders of synagogues, they rejected Jesus. They could not stand Jesus. He decided to be different. Today, well, I'm just going to go with what everybody else around me is doing. No, break through that barrier. Second, he was humble and reverent. Notice that the text says he came and falleth at his feet, beseeching him, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death." The parallel account said that she was about 12 years old. "And I pray that you come and lay your hands on her, that she may be made whole and live." And he went with him, and a great multitude followed him, and they thronged him. His needs were stronger than his pride. And his fellow Jews and his fellow leaders of other synagogues would not have come to Jesus, but he ignored all of that and went to Jesus. But in verse 25, a woman comes, and there's an intervening event. We're going to come back and look at this woman here in just a minute. The third thing he has to do is he has to remain patient while Jesus spends some time with this woman. They're walking to the home of Jairus. Here comes a woman, and Jesus deals with her for a little bit. Jairus is standing there going, wait a minute now. I'm the one getting the deal. I'm the one getting the help. Lady, what are you doing? My daughter is at the point of death. Excuse me. We've got to keep going here. He didn't do any of that. He just waited. And by the way, when the whole thing's over with, somebody comes up and says, "Your daughter's now dead." "Oh, thanks a lot, lady. Yeah, thanks a lot for detracting Jesus and deterring Jesus and holding us up. Now my daughter's dead. Thank you." Yeah, really appreciate that. Do you find any of that in Jairus? That's not going to deter him. That's not going to cause a problem for him. So he remains patient and selfless and calm as Jesus helps somebody else. And then his faith is tested. Look at chapter 5 and verse 35. "While he yet spake, they came from the ruler of the synagogue house, saying, 'Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the teacher any further?' But Jesus, not heeding the word spoken, said unto the ruler of the synagogue, 'Fear not, only believe.'" And so this wait, this deterring, did not shake his faith. It was tested. But he continued to believe when he heard the sad news. And then last of all, his neighbor, he was confident when his neighbors were laughing. Verse 37. "He suffered or allowed no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And they come to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and behold, a tumult, and many weeping and wailing greatly." Okay, I quit. No, he didn't quit. "And when he was entered in, he said unto them, 'Why make ye a tumult and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping.' And they laughed him to scorn." Okay, I've had enough. I asked nicely. This other lady stalled the whole process. Now I'm being told that my daughter's dead, and now they're laughing at Jesus. Okay, I give up. No, he doesn't. We've got to have that kind of determination, brethren and friends. Whatever it is that Jesus is calling us to do this week, we've got to have that resolve. Whatever it is. "But he, having put them all forth, taketh the father, the child, and her mother, and them that were with them, and goeth in with the child where she was. And taking the child by the hand, he said unto her, 'Talitha kumai,' which is being interpreted, 'Damsel, I say unto thee, arise.' And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was 12 years old. And they were amazed straightway," or immediately, "with a great amazement. And he charged them much that no man should know this. And he commanded that something should be given her to eat." He got his only daughter back because of his determination to get to Jesus. No barrier is going to stand in my way. While we're here in Mark chapter 5, let's look at the woman that touched Jesus. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. The parallel account is in Matthew 9 and Luke 8. Let's look at her. Here's another example of broken barriers. Mark 5, 25. And a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years. Just stop right there. She's a woman, first of all, like the woman at the well. I'm a woman, and women typically don't get attention from men in this first century setting. And number two, she was sick with a 12-year-old incurable illness. I'm told that medicine was not an exact science in that day, and diseases were cured more by charms than by medicine. And she had spent her money with the doctors, and she was not made any much better. And she could have had this situation, I quit. But that wasn't her approach. Her approach was, I believe that Jesus can heal me, and I've got to get to Him in the crowd. She didn't have a defeatist attitude. She didn't have an attitude of, when any little inconvenient little thing gets in the way, I'm just going to quit. Well, now there's a crowd, and I can't get to Jesus. I was going to touch Him, but I can't get to Him. And so many people today just give up and quit so easily on so many things. That wasn't this woman's approach. So verse 26, she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. Having heard of the things concerning Jesus, faith comes by hearing. Having heard the things concerning Jesus, faith comes by hearing. She came in the crowd behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I touch but His garment, I shall be made whole. That's impressive. And straightway or immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. A third barrier that she overcame was that the nature of her disease made her unclean. If you go back and read Leviticus 15:26 or Numbers 19:22, with the issue of blood, a woman was not to be around others. So she had a medical barrier, if you will, on top of a social barrier. Any local rabbi would probably have severely rebuked her for being in a crowd with a flow of blood. But she was going to get to Jesus. Number four, she heard about Jesus, but she was blocked out, separated. And so she said, well, I'm going to get as close as I can, and if that means just touching His garment, I can be healed that way. Do you see the determination there, brethren and friends? Verse 29, and immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. And straightway Jesus, perceiving in Himself that the power proceeding from Him had gone forth, turned Him about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? He knew who it was. This is a side lesson, brethren, that's really good, and that is Jesus does not want secret disciples. You need to publicly identify who you are. And I don't mean standing up saying, I believe that Jesus is the Christ right before being baptized. I believe that's a good starting point. I'm talking about every day of your life. Don't be a secret disciple. At work and at school and at Walmart or anywhere else, have no problem identifying that you are a Christian following Christ. Jesus wanted her to announce what she had done and who she was. And His disciples said unto Him, you see the multitude thronging thee, and you say, who touched me? Come on, Jesus, don't you understand? Come on. Everybody's around you. Why are you asking who touched me? There's all kinds of people touching you. Jesus had a special reason for the question. I want her to publicly identify who she is and what her thinking is. He looked around and said to her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had been done to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. That's exactly what He wanted, so that others can know. And He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. What a beautiful picture. In all of these cases, these men and women are getting such great blessings, but only to those who persevere and break through the barriers. Brethren, some barriers that are set up on the highway or somewhere else are great. They're great for our benefit. But when the devil throws up barriers to doing what Jesus wants us to be doing, they are not great at all. And you need to bust through them and break through them. Her faith had made her whole. She was the only one that touched Jesus in faith. There's a bunch of people touching Jesus. She's the only one who touched him in faith. And this faith caused her to obtain the healing that she came for. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Let's look at the Syrophoenician woman. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. Ordinary men and women who are doing what it takes to get to Jesus. You and I can get to Jesus and obey Him and be pleasing to Him. Because we live in this world that says, oh, you can't, and just quit so quickly, I'm here to tell you this morning that we can overcome these things. In Matthew chapter 15, we're going to start reading in verse 21. The parallel account is in Mark chapter 7. Let's read about the Syrophoenician woman. Matthew 15:21, and Jesus went out from there and withdrew into the parts of Tyre and Sidon. If I'm not mistaken, this is the second of only two times when Jesus left his homeland. The first one was when he was a small child. He went down to Egypt with his parents. And here he's going just outside the northern border of Palestine up into the area of Tyre and Sidon where Syria and Phoenicia meet. And behold, a Canaanitish woman came out. The parallel account says she was a Greek or a Gentile. She was a non-Jew. The first barrier that she broke down was the fact that she was a Canaanitish woman. She was a Greek. She's not a Jew and she's a woman. And yet she has faith. Look at verse 22. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, thou son of David. Many Jews would not even confess that, and you've got this Greek confessing it. Son of David is the Messiah. What she had heard about Jesus up in her homeland brought her faith. O Lord, look at that, Master. O Lord, thou son of David. That's exactly Isaiah 11, verse 10. She represented everything a Jew wanted to avoid. She represented everything a Jew wanted to stay away from. I am not calling Jesus Lord, and I'm not going to call Him Son of David. But here's her second problem that she overcame. The text says in verse 22, my daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. And we don't realize how terrible that would have been. You read about the demon-possessed man at Gadara, it was terrible. Little to no clothing on, fighting people, harming himself, harming others, it was terrible. And can you imagine being a parent with a demon-possessed child? It would be a very, very terrible thing. And she didn't say, well, I'm just going to give up. I'm not a Jew. I'm a woman. My daughter is possessed. And I'm so deflated and discouraged and depressed. I'm just going to quit. No, she heard that Jesus was in her part of her. He's now in my country. I got a chance to get with Him. And that, by the way, is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy where the light of Jesus would not only be for the Jews, but He would be a light to the Gentiles also. So she comes. Let's see what happens. Verse 23. But He answered her not a word. The third barrier she overcame was the fact that Jesus didn't answer her. He didn't say anything at the beginning. This was a severe test of her faith. Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Say something, Jesus. Come on, say something. Well, he didn't say anything. I quit. Is that what goes on? It go on today. Well, I quit. She stayed there. And then it gets worse. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." She's a nuisance. Jesus, send this woman away. She's bugging us. Some story about a daughter with a demon-possessed spirit. We don't have time for this, Jesus. Send her away. You think she heard that? If she heard that, what is she thinking? Well, I quit. People are talking about me, so I'm going to quit. That happens today. No, that didn't faze her. Do you see her determination? But he answered and said, "I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Okay, I really quit now because I'm not a Jew. And he just said that I'm coming for the Jews to save them. Number four, she didn't allow the disciples' comments to keep her away. And number five, she was not held away by Jesus' own response, but she came and worshiped him saying, "Lord, help me. I'm not going to give up." Brethren, we have to have tenacity. We have to have determination. And whatever the things are we need to be doing this week, let's not let the little, "Well, this little old thing got in my way, so I can't do such and such." We've got to stay away from that mentality that is so prevalent in our society today. And he answered and said, "It is not meet to take children's bread and cast it to the dogs." But she said, "Yea, Lord, for even the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Can't I get some little something from you, Jesus? Sticking with it. The parallel account says, at this saying, her words were keen, resourceful, well-spoken. And that impressed Jesus. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it done unto thee, even as thou wilt." And her daughter was healed from that hour. Wow. So impressive. Turn with me to Luke 18. Let's talk about blind Bartimaeus in Luke 18. Ordinary men and women, brethren. Ordinary men and women. But with extraordinary determination. Luke 18, 35. The parallel account is in Mark 10 and Matthew 20, where Matthew says that there were two blind men. Luke focuses in on the words of one of them, named Bartimaeus. Luke 18, 35. "And it came to pass, as he drew near unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing a multitude going by, inquired what this meant. First of all, he overcame the barrier or the hurdle that he was blind and a beggar." A very awful combination. He didn't have this self-loathing pity. "I'm a blind beggar. Yeah, Jesus is going by, but what can you do?" Number two, he inquired. Notice how he speaks up. "And hearing a multitude going by," faith comes by hearing, "he inquired what this meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by, and he cried out, saying, 'Jesus, thou son of David,'" again, the Messiah, "have mercy on me." He accepted Jesus as the son of David. He saw more in Jesus than many of the seeing Jews did. Many Jews who could physically see, he saw more than they did and accepted him as the son of David. I'm not going to go by what my fellow Jews think about Jesus. I'm going to go by what the truth is. But look at verse 39, it gets worse. "And they that went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" He didn't let the people around him shush him. "Shush, Bartimaeus, hush, be quiet. We're not told why they said that. Maybe they felt embarrassed by it. Oh, here's a blind beggar yelling out, "Son of David, would you be quiet? You're embarrassing us." We don't know why they said what they said, but he did not let that affect him. What a great attitude. He cried out all the more, a great deal more. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Brethren and friends, we're not talking about just some simple belief. We're talking about a faith that has determination. That's the point of all of this. Faith has an element to it of a determination and a tenacity. That's the kind of faith we need today in this soft world, this soft culture that we're in. It's a culture that is raising soft people. And we've got to stay away from that. Verse 43, "And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise." Just like the others, he was healed by his faith. A faith that had tenacity. And then one last example, and we'll close this morning. Let's look at Zacchaeus, as we say to the children, the wee little man. Look at Luke chapter 19. "And he entered and passed by through Jericho. And behold, a man called Zacchaeus. And he was a chief publican, and he was rich." In one verse, there's two barriers that he overcame. First of all, he was a chief publican, a high-ranking tax official. Jericho was a place of toll between Judea and Perea. Jesus is on his way back to Jerusalem for the final week before going to the cross, and he passes by this place of toll. Well, the problem was tax collectors were known for their crooked ways. And Zacchaeus could have said, "Look, there's no way I'm coming to Jesus. I'm going to stay in this tax business where I can have this lucrative business and maybe even engage in some unscrupulous activity. This is where life is at." He didn't allow that to stand in the way. And number two, the text says he was rich. Historians tell us that Herod the Great made Jericho a wealthy city during his day, and Zacchaeus was sitting with rich people. He was among the socially elite. And riches can keep a person out of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said with regard to the rich man. I'm not going to let my tax collecting keep me away. I'm not going to let my riches keep me away. And number three, I'm not going to let my stature or my short nature keep me away. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd because he was of little stature. Physical abilities or disabilities, social things, monetary things, these are all the things that you'll hear in society today, brethren, that people use to make excuses for not doing what the Lord wants us to do. Social things, monetary things, physical things, disability things, all of those kinds of things are brought up today. These are the very things that we're seeing in these men and women that were not allowed to be barriers. So what did he do? Verse 4, "He ran on before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.' And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying, 'He has gone in to lodge with a man that is a sinner.'" Okay, I quit. People are naysaying, and people are being critical. No, he didn't allow that to cause him to quit. You'll hear that today. "Well, other people were saying such and such about me, so I quit." Don't be bothered by that. He received Jesus with enthusiasm and joy, and he recognized that he was a sinner, and he was not bothered by the neighbor's negative criticism of him. "Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore fourfold. He was not going to allow the high requirements of the law in with regard to making restitution to stand in the way. Exodus 22, 1 and following, Leviticus 6, 5, Numbers 5, 7. That he was to pay restitution for taking from someone wrongfully. In fact, if I understand the original mood here, the indicative mood, it would be something like this. And if I have wrongfully exacted aught of any man, and I admit I have, I will restore fourfold. Verse 9, Jesus said unto him, today is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Salvation has come to this house. Why? Because of a man who had great determination. Well, the lesson is yours. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. We live in a soft and selfish society. So the question I want to close with this morning is simply this. Are you taking the path of least resistance or the path of greatest persistence? Are you taking the path of least resistance or the path of greatest persistence? Don't let the devil throw up his barriers, whatever it is, to keep us from doing what the Lord wants us to do this week. It could be this morning coming and putting on Christ in baptism. It could be a child of God needing to come back to the Lord in some way. It could be faithful brethren who are sitting here that need to keep being faithful. But whatever the barriers are that are going to be thrown up this week, they change from day to day. You're just going to bust right through them and not allow any of that to keep you from serving the Lord. And if we can assist you and help you this morning, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?